right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again. This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 864. I am Lisa Sheps. I am joined today and today only by my super duper co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
You are listening to the two of us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live all over the universe at KOOP.org.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
You matter to me.
It is Wednesday, February 18th, 2026. On the show today, we have Hyde Park Theater and their production of Witch. And then later on, we'll be talking to TexArts and their production of Beehive. And we're just going to throw in a little bit of Ground Floor Theater and their show, Yellowface. And of course, we're going to have a lot of discussions about the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, and Barton Springs. Stick with us.
They don't pull away.
I don't know if Barton Springs is actually a city.
You know what?
I think it's
there
a spring.
Probably is one somewhere, Lisa.
There probably
and
is.
We just don't know. We just don't know.
There's
about
probably
that.
A Barton. Barton, Texas.
There could be a spring. There's lots of springs. I'm going to say it's out there. It exists.
I'm gonna
be like Brigadoon.
It could be. It only shows up once a year.
No, seven. Out of the spring.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's introduce these voices that we're hearing, shall
yes.
we?
Yes. The disembodied voices aren't really just disembodied voices.
We have Catherine Catmull. Hi, Catherine.
Hi.
And what's your name? Ken Webster.
Ken Webster. Thank you so much for having
us. I actually did have a little brain hemorrhage there just a second because you weren't supposed to be here, so your name isn't on here. I have forgotten people that I know quite well, and I've gone to introduce them, and I go, I don't remember your name. What are you talking about? You've known me for 30 years. So that piece of music we heard coming out was from Waitress, and it's a song called You Matter to Me, and that is because you all matter to me. And that is my Valentine to the three of you.
That was it?
Yeah.
That was it. It was Valentine's Day.
I know it was.
Valentine's too. I am dressed for Valentine's.
You are, actually.
I'm wearing red. Mama likes red. So did y'all have good Valentine's Day?
Yes. We closed Frontera Fest.
And you then, did.
Then Kathy and I watched Blue Moon.
I tried to watch that. Did not like it. Could not get through it.
Oh, how far did you get?
About an hour into it. Oh. It just seemed like a monologue more than anything else.
Oh, I loved him, and I loved how they made him look like he was under 5 feet tall.
They did make him look really short. Blue Moon is about...
Lauren's Hart.
Lauren's Hart, the first partner to Richard Rodgers.
Yes.
Catherine, get closer to that microphone, please. You can move the microphone.
Oh, yeah. It's super professional over here.
Yeah. So so it was Valentine's Day. I did coin two new words because, you know, I have we have a show going on a Ground Floor Theater, and I do a curtain speech. So
what
I
are
did,
the words?
I created... Valentine's Day Eve.
Yeah. I'm sure.
And then I created Boxing Valentine's Day. So feel free. They're trademarked, but you can use them. So that was Valentine's Day. And then I will just mention this, that the opinions expressed on Offstage and On the Air are not necessarily those of co-ops. It's board of directors, volunteers, trustees, employees, janitors, people walking by, anybody else. It's just our opinions. It's early voting. Has anybody voted yet?
Not yet. But
not yet.
I am going to vote early.
Okay, we're going to talk about voting again later just because I like voting. Voting is important. We lost a great actor. and Robert Duvall. He died at the age of 95 after a pretty long life.
Correct.
And he's mostly known for film, but he did appear
Some epic films, may I add.
True that. He appeared on Broadway twice. And it appears I saw him.
Oh, get out. What did you see him in, Lisa?
I'm assuming, because I saw American Buffalo with
Kenneth McMillan.
Al Pacino.
Well, that would be interesting to see him in, too.
He was in one with Kenneth McMillan and John Savage.
What are you talking about?
So was that later?
Who? Robert Duvall?
Duvall.
Wait Until Dawn. He's only done two. Wait Until Dark and American Buffalo.
Yes.
But it was a later production of American Buffalo, you're saying?
Maybe he did American Buffalo twice. If he did it with Pacino, he also did.
He played Walter Cole.
Yep.
He did it with Pacino, but it only says he was in there once from February 77 to June of 77.
Oh, when Pacino left, I guess somebody else came in.
Well, anyway, so I saw Pacino in American Buffalo. I don't remember Robert Duvall being in it, but
that's okay. Sometimes it's fun. It's so funny. I looked at all the playbills recently. I'm like, oh, you should go back in through them. I like going back through them and going, I can't even believe that was so-and-so. I saw them in this like 10 years because you have these moments.
Here's how smart I am.
What?
I had a lot of playbills, including my 1969 Fiddler on the Roof, the with Herschel Bernardi. I had loads of them. And I would say sometime in the 80s, I looked at all these playbills and I said, yeah. And I threw them away.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. I have all my concert tickets.
Well, no, I'm talking about what I did.
And playbills. I am a sentimental gal.
And I'm so sad about that now. Because I would have done exactly that. I would have looked up that playbill to see if indeed I saw him.
Yeah, there is the playbill vault online. So if you want to take him.
Well, yeah, I know I could do that.
Dry down memory.
But what I could learn is I memory is fallible, and oftentimes I will remember things quite vividly and then learn they are 100% untrue. So I could have gone through my list of playbills and not found a playbill for American Buffalo, and then I would have questioned whether I actually saw it. Although
you
I will never forget
that.
Al Pacino going, Blankin' Ruthie, Blankin' Ruthie, Blankin' Ruthie.
Yeah,
and then
right.
And then the other actor goes, what? And he goes, Blankin' Ruthie.
So anyway, Robert Duvall died. Evidently, so he is known as someone that really inhabits his characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't say in here that he's method, but it insinuates. But he goes,
your method without saying your method.
Yeah, he was basically said that to somebody in an interview that he was, that he becomes those characters. And his answer was, what do you mean? This is with the New York Times article in 1989. I don't become the character. It's still me doing myself. Altered. And evidently he was a difficult actor to work with from a directorial standpoint.
Well, if you're getting totally into the role like that, I could see that.
Well, he also said, he decides what he's going to do with the character. He said, I will take direction, but only if it supplements what I want to do.
Well, yes, he heard an interview with him where he was talking about Apocalypse Now. And the character that he wound up playing, who was into surfing, was totally different. And he had a lot of ideas about what his character was going to be like.
Yeah, he goes on to say, if I have instincts that I feel are right, I don't want anybody to tamper with them. I don't like tamperers. I don't like hoverers. I would have liked to have met him.
I was like, it's a man who knows what he wants. Yeah. I can't fault someone for that.
Yep. But rest in peace. Yes. 95 years old.
95 with a crazy legacy of works left.
Yep. Yep. And I forgot that he played Boo Radley.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
In the original, whatever that show is called.
To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yep. That was good. I need to go rewatch it because I don't remember. I don't remember him in that either. But you know, this is it. I do want to thank Kim Simpson for another wonderful International Folk Bazaar.
I
love that he talked about Armenian 78s.
Mm.
Do y'all remember 78s?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what I love about 78s, I had a whole bunch that they went away in the 50s or early 60s. But my parents had a whole bunch. I have a beautiful, I still have it, a 78 of Holiday Inn, the
really?
Movie. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool, Lisa.
But they, do you remember how they advertised those records? They advertised them as unbreakable.
Oh.
And do you remember how fragile they were?
Yeah, I was like completely
like
the opposite
look at
of
them
that.
And they crack apart.
Yes.
I thought that was funny.
That is funny.
So, but I loved listening to his interview. I don't remember the gentleman's name he was talking to, talking about those 78s from Armenia. Also, I want to remind folks that next week we start here at Co-op Radio, our membership drive.
It is so that start, time.
Start thinking about getting out your wallet and giving lots of money to this radio station. Let's see. What else are we going to talk about? Schmigadoon. The Broadway version of Schmigadoon.
Every time it comes up, I think of you, Lisa.
Because
like,
I love it.
I don't have to send her this. You know, I send you news. I'm like, don't need to send her this. I know she saw it.
Because I love it. They already announced that Alex Brightman and Sarah Chase are playing the roles that What's-His-Name and What's-Her-Name did.
But I love some of these people they've added. You know that.
Anna Gasteyer.
I love her.
You love her. Mildred Layton. Anne Harada, they had already announced.
Mm-hmm.
Brad Oscar, who I don't know, he was in the producers in Something Rotten. I like Something Rotten.
I was like Something Rotten. Yeah, fun stuff.
He's playing Mayor Men Love. Isabel McCullough, who was in Water for Elephants, is playing Emma Tate, who was the played by what's her name, the pop singer,
Adele.
Yes, that's the one.
Wow, well done.
Was that right?
No, you know it's not Adele. It was what was her name? The young one. I don't remember her name. Anyway,
I don't have the Apple TV, so don't ask me.
Have you not seen Schmigadoon?
Just bits and pieces and clips.
Oh, it's good.
It is so
good.
Well, the
Apple
first
TV.
Season's good. I wasn't crazy about the second season.
I didn't watch past the first season.
First season was amazing. The second season was a little darker, and it was Schmicago. they did Schmicago, and they had the pie maker Sweeney Todd, and it was interesting. Anyway, so that's good. Let's talk about the West End, and let's
Paddington.
Let's talk about Paddington because I know you love it.
Love Paddington.
Let's talk about Cynthia Erivo doing a one-person
Dracula
solo
playing
show.
23 characters.
Dracula.
Are you going to talk about the teleprompter?
I am going to talk about that a little bit. But she's playing in London and West End. She embodies all 23 characures. The reviews
about me knowing 23 characters.
You did good.
There was no notes.
Correct. You do everything with no notes, which amazes
that.
Me. Middling reviews. They were all middle.
I was about
to say
those just came out. Yeah.
But I actually, before I saw the reviews, I had already wanted to talk about this because of this teleprompter issue.
Yeah.
And this will be good because Ken Webster.
Like it's an issue to some people and not to the other people. So
hold on.
Interesting.
I'm interested to talk to Ken Webster about this because you do a lot of solo shows.
I do.
And Catherine Catmull, you just finished a solo show.
Well, it was a year ago, but yes.
Was it a year ago?
It was almost.
It's still recently.
Still fresh.
Anyway, so it turns out that Cynthia Erivo is using a teleprompter.
For a one-person show?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And worse, not only that she's using it, but it's visible to the audience.
I was about to say, it's visible. Oh. Now, some people, there's a, you know, get on social media to find out. Disseminate, but some people say she's not really looking at it. It's just really there as a crotch. And some people are like, no, she's looking at it. So I haven't seen it. I don't know.
Huh. If it's there, she's using it. I guarantee it.
It's visible.
Yeah. It's like if you have a script in your hand, you're going to look at it.
Well, so how do you, I'm not mixed. I'm against it.
I am.
At that level, a professional, it's like I get really upset just here when people say, I don't want to memorize a monologue for an audition. No, that's your job as an actor. That's what you do.
Yeah.
So your job.
Who has ever said? I have never heard that.
Yeah, it was a huge thing a while ago.
No, I've heard people say that too.
Yes.
Sometimes people don't memorize for Frontera Fest, and I'm always like,
Yeah, crazy. So, but that's an actor's job. That's part
I was like,
of what
that's
you sign
part
up
of
for.
The job and the skill. That's like a plumber not knowing how to use a wrench, but saying I want to be a plumber.
And it's more than that, really. I think because until you have it in your body, you're not really performing it. Like you have to like have
100%. Yes,
that's wild. You guys just blew my mind.
And at the level of the West End and or Broadway, I don't
and
get
honestly,
it. I mean,
at her age, she's not like 80 years old where you might be. Yeah.
No, nope. And I know she has the abilities and
sure. Yes.
And I just I don't I I'm on the naysayer side.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
How feels you, Ken Webster?
Oh, I agree. I shouldn't have to have learned all those plays and then she can just use a teleprompter. It's not fair.
Guess what? Paddington does not use one.
I don't think. No, but the offstage person reading the lines does.
Maybe she doesn't.
But I will say this.
No, she can't because no. Okay,
we're not
he
talking
can't
about
because he's doing animatronics.
We're not talking about Paddington. But I will. So I'm gonna play devil's advocate here. So back in the day, remember they had a prompter.
Yes.
Sitting.
At the foot of the stage.
That was a known thing back in the day. So
they were also learning things and doing scripts quickly and turning them over within a week. It wasn't true. Like rehearsal and a long run of a show. Calling line or having a prompter is a completely different experience than having
the full script
and teleprompter in front of you. You just became a news person at that point.
The first time I saw a teleprompter used outside of a business meeting or, you know, a speech was at the rodeo here. I went to see it and, I forget, it's Country Star, one of the daughter of another country, somebody famous.
Musicians use them all the time.
I was appalled by that. Yeah. They don't know their own songs. I was like appalled by that. And it's done in I don't know if you've been to the rodeo. I assume they do it the same way every year. It's a round stage on a turntable.
Yeah.
So
old school Houston style.
Yeah. So it was very visible. And I went, what?
Musicians use them. And then on top of it, and this I get, they will normally have a piece of paper taped to the prompter or on the ground that has the set list.
That's different.
But that changes because your set list is fluid and not always the same depending on where you are. But I don't get the teleprompter with the lyrics.
All right. I don't have time to talk about anything else that we're going to talk about because I need to make sure I have time for our second guest and plenty of time. But I do want to talk about two things before I do. One is this show called Signs. It's not a show. It's a concept album called Signs of Life. And the reason why we're going to talk about it is we're going to hear a little bit of it at the end of the show. It's going to be released on February 23rd. There are three songs available now. Music and lyrics by Christopher Dallaire. Signs of Life is an original new musical where healing becomes a hero's journey and the key to growing up lies within one's younger self. On Chris's journey to break familiar cycle, he is guided and pushed by 12 divinely feminine signs of the zodiac to help outside his comfort zone and face things that scare him
most. Is this the Shoshana Bean?
Shoshana Bean, yes.
Okay.
Good, you were... God, you amaze me.
I briefly read over it. This was a glance. I don't know much about it.
So Shoshana Bean is in it, as well as Jen Colella, Jinx Monsoon.
I was like, who was the other one? I went, ooh.
Saleha Pfeiffer and Vanessa Williams, amongst others.
Oh, yeah, so. Vanessa. That's right.
None of those names that we just mentioned were available for download yet. So I don't actually know who sings... The one that we're going to play. Which
Vanessa's hot off the West End. She just did Devil Wears Prada over there.
She did.
Mm-hmm.
We're singing a song called You Are Not Alone, not Dear Evan Hansen. but I don't know who's singing it because on the performer list, it just lists the entire company. And then also, speaking of voting, and just to remind folks that early voting has started, voting is super duper important. Please reference my disclaimer from before about opinions. Those of us who are on the Democratic side of this have a lot of work to do this election cycle. And I personally, only my opinion, would like to see John Cornyn replaced by a Democrat. And we have two amazing Democrats that are vying for that. It is a Sophie's choice. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing. I know who I want, but I know who I think has a better chance to win. So it's a tough one.
Yeah.
But Very important. And I would just argue that if you are on the other side of the fence, also very important for you. You have that same race. You have three very powerhouse people running. So, and I will recommend to you, go early before March 3rd.
Yeah, and if you're curious what is on the ballot, if you look in what county you're living in, it'll show you what's on the ballot and what people, a lot of people go in going, I didn't realize there was 10 things I had to vote on. I thought it was just one. And your voice matters in all things. Yep. So you can learn about it and then be able to do research on your
piece.
And
speaking of voting, I am so excited about this.
What?
So excited. I am S-E about this.
What's that? So excited.
Suffs is coming to Masterpiece Theater, or Great Performances.
Yeah, didn't we talk that it was coming?
No, it just got announced.
Oh, I thought we talked about it.
No, we may have, but my memory. anyway, it's going to play May 8th on PBS. It was filmed at my favorite theater from the outside, which is the Music Box.
I like the Music Box on the inside, too.
I like it on the inside, too, but it's my favorite on the outside.
It is fun on the outside. It's got a wacky little history, that Music Box.
It was recorded in December of 2024. It stars Nikki M. James, Jen Colella.
Lots of people.
Emily Skinner, your girl, Emily Skinner.
Emily.
And, of course, Shana Taub.
Dun, dun, dun.
Who wrote it and did it? Has anybody seen it?
Oh, no.
It's coming here, isn't it? Is it coming here? You don't know. You're saying.
Well, the Broadway season in Austin hasn't been announced.
Okay,
yet
never
for
mind.
Next season.
Never mind. I thought it was.
Houston season has, and it is not on that season.
Okay. Also, PBS is also going to be doing Irving Berlin's Top Hat, which is done in the UK. Directed and choreographed by Kathleen Marshall, who evidently I've worked with before, but I don't remember. And that's happening on May 15th. So there you go. Let's listen to,
can we talk about the blood budget article next week?
Yes.
Next week, not okay. This week.
Let's do it
next week.
Blood budget. There's a whole, you read the article.
Yes, I was very excited when I saw it on
here. That's why I put it on there, because I knew you would be.
You know I love a blood budget. Okay. Water budget and a fire budget.
Let's just let mother vote, shall we?
Shall we?
Let mother vote. We raised you after all. Won't you thank the lady you have loved since you
We
were
are
small.
Back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole and Ken and Catherine. We're all here.
We're here.
That was a good discussion.
That was fun.
Yeah. Just another reminder. Next week, we start our membership drive. Get out that money. You could give right now. You could go to coop.org and give right this very second.
Just tell them Lisa and Nicole sent you.
Yep. So let's reintroduce our guests for the real reason why they're here. And that is Ken Webster, the artistic director of Hyde Park Theater and the director of this piece. Welcome, Ken.
Thank you so much for having us.
And Catherine Catmull, the star of this piece, Witches.
Witch. Just
witch.
One witch.
I keep wanting to give it multiple witches.
Yeah.
I keep
witch,
doing that.
Witch.
And I've been having trouble spelling it. My fingers go to the WHICH first before it does anything else.
Isn't that funny how your brain is thinking one thing and then does the opposite? Mm-hmm. Does that to
because
me
I'm a
thought.
Good soul. Mm-hmm. Because I'm good.
It happens to us because we're all good people.
Ken, tell us about, this is a Jen Silverman.
Yes, we did.
Silverberg? Silverman.
Silverman.
Okay, I got to write the first
did
time.
One
that
of her
doesn't
plays,
happen often.
We did one of her plays in 2017 called The Moors.
The Moors. I just call it Othello.
Yes.
The
and
Moors.
I love that script, and I love Witch. And in both plays, they take place in olden times.
1600s.
Yes, but there's a lot of anachronisms and modern language.
Yep.
They talk about potlucks and things like that. And,
as they do these days.
And hand wipes. They have hand wipes in 1620.
Well, you know, when you were going to burn someone at the stake, you wanted to make sure you had nice, clean hands.
Oh, yeah, yes. Yeah, it's a wonderful script, and we were turned on to it by two of our patrons who spend most of the year in Minneapolis, Paul and Pat Sackett. They see a lot of theater in Minneapolis and St. Paul, and they see a lot of theater here. And they tend to like the kind of things that we do, the kind of off-Broadway shows that we do. And she said, you should look at this play.
Contemporary American theater is what I call what
yes,
you do.
Yes. You should look at this play, Witch. And she...
Witch.
Witch. First base. So she sent it to me, and I sent it to Kathy, who looked at it first, and Kathy fell in love with it. And we did a reading of it that was really great. Then we discovered, when we got the rights, that the script is even better than what the one that we had. It's more economical and it's just a much better overall script. Patrons out there, if you have some suggestions for us for plays,
there you go. Always looking
you
for
like it.
The
yeah,
spots.
Really.
So it's based on a book, isn't it? A pretty well known
play. A play.
Is it a play?
1621, okay. Like a Jacobean play.
Yeah.
Which was based on a real woman who was really accused of being a witch and burnt at the stake and so forth.
But does it take place in the United States? Is it
no in England? Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah. I mean, we're not doing.
You know,
English
I think accent. I think of the witch burning as a quintessential American thing, but evidently not.
No, they did it all no. over Europe.
Well, they did it in Monty Python, didn't they?
Yes.
Right.
When they weighed her, she's not the same weight as a duck.
I mean, you have to think the people that were doing it here were people from the same
yes.
group of people.
Back where I come
across
from.
Across the pond, yes.
So, Catherine, you are playing the lead role. You're playing the titular witch.
Yes, although as she reveals in the first speech, she's not a witch. They just everybody thinks she's a witch, and it makes her life really miserable.
Well, also the devil makes an appearance and like
yes.
snows everybody but her, right?
Yes, yes. He's.
Am I giving stuff away? I'm
oh,
sorry.
No.
He's the you know on page two the devil appears. So yeah. Yeah,
page
wonderful.
Two.
Chase Brewer is playing the
devil. Yeah, it's gotta just on that. I'm seeing Damn Yankees for some reason. Faustian kind of feel. To
I directed Damn Yankees at Zachary Scott Theater in 1991.
Zachary Scott Theater. I'm not familiar.
It used to be called Austin Civic Theater, and then it was Zachary Scott Theater. Then it was Zach Theater. Then it was Zach, and now it's Zach.
Well, no, it was Zach Theater, and now it's Zach Theater.
Yeah,
because it was all caps. I was I was yelling
like Oklahoma.
Yeah. Well, great. Well, you're prepared to do a little monologue from
yeah,
it. Yes,
it's actually the very opening minute or two of the play.
Excellent. So we're not giving anything away. Does it need to
it's
be set
before
up
the devil arrives, Lisa?
Right.
No, the audience has only heard the pre-show music at this point.
Yeah. Okay.
And the lovely set.
And
great.
Then kind of a raggedy old lady with in like sort of peasant clothing appears.
And then when do you come in?
Yeah. Well,
okay.
She says, I'm not arguing for the end of the world, but then again, maybe I am. This one, anyway. I imagine you're not sure about this. You might think I'm jumping the gun. Fair enough. Full disclosure, wherever I go, people are like, oh, there's the Witch of Edmonton. They're like, you made my cow sick. You made my thatch burn. I'm like a disease that only I seem to have caught. I'm like a plague of locusts that's just one locust. And the whispering. Say I'm in line at the well. If I turn around, the whispering stops. Dead silence. But somehow it always starts up again. I can't say I don't have a grudge because I do. Clearly, I do have a grudge. But does that detract from my argument, or is it just added texture? I understand you're hesitating right now. You're like, is she kidding? Is she serious? Is she crazy? And those are questions. They are valid questions, but they are not the right questions. Here is the single thing you should be asking yourself. Do I have hope that things can get better? And if you do, then ignore me. You're fine. But if you don't, then maybe this is where we start.
amazing. I can't wait to see this show.
That was fun, too. I like the...
It is
the,
fun.
It's very funny. It's yeah, a very funny show and very sad at the same time. It keeps like flipping back and forth. I love plays that do that.
Yeah. So one of you mentioned a set. Is the set cool and who did it?
It's really cool. Mark Pakel, who's...
heard of him.
Yep, yep. And he just finished it in the nick of time. He's heading off to see some shows in New York. But... he and Anthony Pinder have built this amazing set.
Yeah, I don't know that I've seen a Mark Pakel set that I haven't liked.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does amazing things with the space, mm-hmm. plays that you would think, you know, well, you can't do that there. Yeah. Like The Wolves and John by Annie Baker. You can't do those plays in mm-hmm. that tiny space, but he figures out a way.
He actually designed a show at my theater once.
Yes.
Which is really, not for us, but it was for... What's the name of his company that doesn't produce anymore?
Capital T Theater.
It was Capital T.
Capital T. That's
Me and I or something like that, but it was really good. Well, great. We're running out of time. When does this show open?
Opens Saturday and runs through March 21st.
Awesome. And where can folks go to get more information?
Our lovely website, created by Catherine Cavanaugh, HydeParkTheater.org.
Well, great. Was there anything awesome. that I didn't ask you that you want to highlight before we say goodbye?
Oh, we got a great cast. Rupert Reyes, Chase Brewer, Amara Johnson, Steve Guntley, John Edward Cook. They're wonderful to work with.
Yeah. Am I in it?
So far, no, but okay. We have an understudy.
Let's talk.
Well, great. Thank you all so much for being on the show.
Oh,
and
thank you.
Will look forward to seeing the show.
Thank you.
Wonderful. That was Catherine Catmull and Ken Webster of Hyde Park Theater's production of Witch, opening February 21st and playing through March 21st. For more information, HydeParkTheater.org. And since this is all about Temptation, I am playing from the Broadway show Singing in the Rain, Temptation. This song is not in the movie. We'll be right back.
You came, I was alone.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole. That show sounds like a lot of fun. Hold on, I'm going to turn your microphone on. How about
hello.
Now?
Oh, hello. How about that?
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. So that's Groovytron. So we've had a change of the guard here, as you will, and I'm just going to introduce them in case they want to talk during our local section. I don't know who's who. I think I know Hannah Ferguson. Hi, Hannah.
Hi.
Wait, hold on. Why am I not hearing you? Oh, because the volume isn't up. Okay.
Hi.
There you go.
Ariel.
Lauren Gaw.
That's me. Hi.
Yep. And Ariel Leguet.
Close. Leggett.
Leggett.
Baguette.
And then I have an Aaron Ryan. No Aaron Ryan? And then Lindsay Polinsky is here. Say hi really loud.
Hi, everyone.
Okay, we're just going to go through our little local section real fast, and then we're going to talk to you about the real reason why you're here. I have some sad news locally. Kathy Dunn Hanrick passed away. I just saw the news on Facebook a couple of days ago. So Kathy had a dance company, KDH Dance Company, and has done I knew her relatively well. She performed at Ground Floor Theater a lot. And she founded Kathy Dunn Hanrick Dance Company in 1998. And she committed her professional life to dancing, teaching, choreographing, presenting, mentoring, and advocating modern dance and dance makers. And she was just a lovely person. I really enjoyed her. Did you know her? If you're going to talk, you got to.
I had met her a few times, and she was absolutely lovely.
Yeah, she is lovely. Yeah, had you met her, Nicole?
Rebecca and Amy used to work with her.
Yeah.
A while back, but yes.
Anybody else?
I didn't know her, but what a sad
to hear.
Yeah, she's been battling cancer for a while. So it was she was sick for a while, and then I guess you know. As it tends to be, that awful disease tends to win out. So rest in peace, Kathy. You'll be missed. Kathy Dunn Hanrick Dance Company has been run by others for about a year now, maybe a little over a year. And they were in the theater in 2025, and Kathy showed up. We weren't expecting her to. And it was really lovely to see her. And she looked good at that
That's
time.
That's nice.
So rest in peace, Kathy. The other thing I want to talk about is Outsider Fest, which we never talk about here. We've had them on the show a couple of times.
Like, they've been on before.
They have been on a couple of times. It's an LGBTQ festival that happens at the Vortex. Outsider Fest is a out-of-the-box festival, and it's a presentation through provocative, overlooked, out-of-the-box film, dance, theater, performance art, music, writing, and visual arts. And it's all queer all the time.
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah.
And awesome. The arts.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. When they originally started doing it, Curran, it's done by Curran Knott and, oh my God, I just lost your name. PJ Ravel. Mm-hmm. They started it and they are no longer doing it. They have a whole new crew, but they were like talking about doing it at Ground Floor Theater for a while, but they wanted to, at that time, it was basically taking up all of Manor. And that's back when Salvage Vanguard was still around and they were going to be working and just working on that street. Mm-hmm. And now basically it all happens at Vortex. And I think the Vortex is a really
perfect
wonderful and apropos home for them.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So that happens on the 18th. They open tonight, playing through the 22nd. I think you can get information at outsiderfest.org. Or you can go to offstageonair.com, and there will be a link right there on our website. So you're probably wondering what shows are playing now or close to now in Austin, Texas.
I do wonder.
Yeah. Okay, let's go rocks, paper, scissors to see who goes first. Ready?
Uh-huh.
Rocks, paper, scissors, shoot. Okay, I go. Ooh. You go first.
Yeah.
Oh, I did scissors, she did rock.
Yeah. So this weekend, this is a 3-dayer. Broadway in Austin has Hadestown.
Yep, the 20th through the 22nd. Austin Playhouse has got Describe the Night through the 22nd, as well as Carmela Full of Wishes, which opens on the 28th and plays through March 15th.
Zach Theater has Murder on the Orient Express playing now through March 1st. And just opened Charlotte's Web through the 17th of May.
I don't like spiders and snakes.
It's aerialist. I still don't like the spider. It's so pretty. It's a bluegrass. It's pretty.
Yep. And then way up at Georgetown is the Mountaintop playing through the 8th of March. I really want to see this. I want to reiterate that they had some major problems with their main stage theater during the ice storm. Turns out, I found this out, that because there was no burst pipes or anything like that, it flooded.
Yeah, but what flooded?
There's a spring underneath the Palace Theater.
What?
Wow. Yeah. Hannah, get up close to that microphone because you work at Georgetown Palace a lot.
I do. I love Georgetown Palace.
Yeah. So it turns out there's a spring and the water came up from below.
Interesting.
But they are, feel free to go to.
That was a lot of water.
Yeah. Go to GeorgetownPalaceTheater.org or Google it for ways that you can assist them in their time of need. Mm-hmm. But the Mountaintop is at their second stage. And they just had, I don't think it's going on anymore, Swing,
mm-hmm.
Which they were able to do in their high school performing arts section.
They could swing it.
Okay, go.
Blah, blah, blah. Where are we? Oh, here we are. Filigree Theater has The Last March playing through the 22nd.
At Sterling Stage.
Yes.
If you like tennis,
yes,
you might like it.
Well, the Austin Open's coming here in the next week, and the Venus Williams is playing in Austin.
Can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
You're in town over at St. Ed's. The Mary Moody Northern Theater plays through the 27th.
Austin Shakespeare is doing Macbeth from now through March 1st at the Rollins Stage at the Long Center.
And we're just about to meet these people. TexArts is doing Beehive the Musical. From the 13th, which is in the past, through the 27th.
March 1st.
Oh.
Yeah.
You said March 1st.
I looked up a line.
She looked up a line.
Never mind.
Theater has Trip to Bountiful, although I want
to Trip to Bountiful Pippin.
Yes, thank you. Yes. That's all I want to do. Trip to Bountiful playing now through, opens this weekend on the 20th and plays through March 1st.
And they will be on the show next week. University of Texas has the UTNT New Works Festival. Oh, we're taking a picture. Yay! Sorry. Playing from February 26th through March 6th.
We also have Ground Floor Theater with Yellow Face. It's playing now through the 28th of February.
Hyde Park Theater, we just met them. It's playing Witch, February 21st through March 21st. And our auditions, Into the Woods.
Oh, no, you missed one.
What did I miss?
Penfold with Wild Horses.
Oh, Penfold Wild Horses.
Opening February 28th and closes March 15th.
There you go. Auditions, Lake Travis Musical Theater, still auditioning for Into the Woods on March 7th. Walking Shadow Shakespeare's Coriolanus on February 20th. Austin Shakespeare's Much Ado About Nothing, as well as Madam X on the 21st of this month. And Austin Playhouse has got auditions for Seared on the 24th of February. And the stage Austin is doing Cloud Nine, which is one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah, those that's not one done a lot. Good music.
Are on March 2nd. I've got to rush through our last little piece, which is Today in Theater History.
You're going
to
tell us about the stuff that happened?
Yep.
What happened?
I'm going to start with shows. Come back to the Five and Dime, Jimmy Dean, Jimmy Dean.
That's a great title.
Opened in 1982. I think Cher was in it. Why do I think that?
Cher? Has Cher been on Broadway?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're making that up.
I might be, but I was
That would be great, though, especially in the 80s.
I was in New York at that time, and for some reason, I hear that title, and I think Cher, so I don't know why.
Okay.
Undine opened in 1954. And Mr. Roberts, which is one of my favorite movies.
Oh, yeah, that's
starring,
another one.
Starring Henry Fonda and Jack Lemmon.
Yeah.
In the movie, but it was a play first, and that opened in 1948. Our birthdays are, hey, Mr. Cotta, John Travolta.
No, hey, Mr. Cotta was Horseshack.
I know.
Mr. Cotta, Mr. Cotta.
Found out, passed away.
Pass away.
He was a dear friend of a dear friend.
I loved that show.
Molly Ringwald.
Oh, Molly.
Sybil Shepherd.
Oh, Sybil.
Juliana Canfield.
Oh.
Christopher Sieber.
This is a very interesting group of folks.
It is. And Susan Egan.
Ah.
Susan Egan, as you all know.
Love Susan Egan.
Was the original Belle in Beauty and the Beast.
Christopher Sieber's in Death Becomes Her right now.
There you go. So let's listen to her sing Belle from Beauty and the Beast. We'll be right back.
There you go.
There goes the baker with his tray like always.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
Us. Doing it. Talking theater.
And now let's reintroduce our guests for the real reason why they're here. I'm just going to introduce her, even though she's not on microphone. Lindsay Polinsky, how are you?
I'm doing great today, Lisa.
And tell us what you're doing for TexArts. Why are you here?
I'm here as a representative of TexArts. I am the Academy Director, and I'm also the costume designer for Beehive the Musical.
Wonderful. And you teach the little ones.
I do. Not super little, but we have classes for ages kindergarten and up.
So this show is period, yes?
Yes, it is.
Fun to costume?
It was super fun to costume. Yeah. You know I love
it. Are you doing hair
piece.
As well?
No, we had an amazing wig designer named Chris Arthur who came and did 21 different wigs
for this
show.
I was like, there's a lot of wigs in this show.
Yeah, the Arthur I know was an old king.
Ha ha.
Anyway,
that's
it. All right. and we have performers in the show. We have Hannah Ferguson. Hi, Hannah.
Hi, Lisa.
Have you been on this show before?
I haven't.
Okay.
I'm so
you have not?
Been here. No.
Get out of town.
That's wild.
Okay.
Really?
We have, hold on, I forgot who's here. Well, I know Ariel Leggett.
Right here.
Over there.
Ariel.
And Lauren Gaw.
Hi.
Great. And Erin Ryan is not here, but
no,
we wish
not.
Them well wherever they are.
Yeah, she's the choreographer for Beehive, and she did such a beautiful job of like putting period choreography to all of these songs and really just having these ladies shine on stage.
Wonderful. Okay. Mm-hmm. Next time you get on mic, I'm going to ask you to get this way on the microphone. I'm pointing to the microphone in the front.
It's very directional.
They don't work on the sides. So great. So y'all are three performers in the show, Beehive, the musical. Tell us about Beehive the Musical. What the heck is it?
What the heck is it? Well, it is the 60s musical.
Mm-hmm.
It's really just a party, a fun jukebox musical,
yes.
Songs from the 60s.
Jukebox musical. I'm not familiar with that term.
It is all songs, popular songs from the 60s,
okay.
All by women. Mm-hmm. It's such a great girl power show. I love the fact that all the
creative team of our show was also all women. And there's seven of us, and I'm so grateful that we actually get along and love each other.
Yeah. It has been just like fun the whole way through. Mm-hmm. And to think we actually all met each other a month ago. It's like, we didn't start rehearsals till January 20th. Yeah. And now here we are doing like 27 numbers.
It's a lot of numbers.
Is there a narrative to this show, or is it just basically a review of these numbers?
It's definitely a review. I'd call it a celebration of not just the 60s, but the women in the 60s. Mm-hmm. And what women were progressing towards in the 60s.
So here's a test.
Yes, definitely.
Here's a test from someone who is probably older and maybe a little wiser.
I didn't study.
Do you know what beehive refers to?
The hairdo.
My mother had one.
Oh. Well, you'll see.
I will never
show.
Forget how certainly much hair
them.
She had.
I was like, it's crazy.
So can one of you describe what a beehive hairdo looks like?
Oh my god. Kind of like a beehive, actually.
Yeah. Well, it's a big updo. Mm-hmm. And teasing. Teasing is key, right?
That was the story of my life growing up.
I'm sure, and a lot of hairspray, too.
Yeah, a lot of hairspray.
Wait, I just had the idea for another musical.
Oh, what is it?
Hairspray.
What would you call it?
That sounds like a great one.
So that was it. So how many numbers are in this show?
So many.
I think 27 might be right.
27. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. So this show was never on Broadway, but it was off Broadway for quite a long time.
Yes.
And as I looked up today, I knew one of the original Jasmine guy was in the original.
Oh.
And I worked with Jasmine several times back in the day.
Oh, amazing.
Oh, yeah, I know. So that was cool. So I just needed to drop a name. And now I've done it.
Well, that's actually still in the script.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And yeah, the names of the original performers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do one of you play Jasmine?
Well, because there's actually seven of us in this show, and originally there were six in the cast, we are all playing really ourselves.
We use our own names.
Yeah, which is what they did.
Exactly.
Yeah, so why not? Why not do it like the OG?
Exactly.
Then that kind of answers my next question. So you don't have a character you're playing yourselves.
Correct. Right.
Okay, well, thanks for being on the show.
Ourselves in the 60s.
Ourselves in the 60s, yes.
And were any of you alive in the 60s?
No.
No way. No. But we have been thinking of fun ways to make this some sort of narrative of like maybe we're all like ghosts who came back and we're being hosted by these bodies
in the current day. They're singing through us.
But they're singing
very
through us.
Very forever plaid meets.
Yeah.
And our director actually talked to a lot of people who were alive during the 60s and would tell us stories that they shared with her, which has been really helpful.
And yeah. who is the director?
Her name is Megan Richards.
Okay.
She's fantastic.
Well, I would think she would have to be.
And we have Megan Richards as the director, but also Megan Pritchett as our musical director. And then
a lot of Megans.
A lot of Megans.
All right. Well, y'all are going to do a number, aren't you?
We sure are.
Does it need any kind of setup? I mean, I think people will be very, very familiar with the song.
I think they will. So,
but is there anything in the show that leads up to it that you want to talk about, or you want to just jump into it?
The show is like a large concert. We kind of just go back to back to back quite frequently. And this is one of those numbers where we finish one song and jump right into the next.
Well,
in 1961, the Shirelles were actually the first all-girl group to reach number one on Billboard.
There you go. You have all the information.
I do.
All right. This is Hannah Ferguson, Lauren Gaw, and Ariel Leggett singing a song from Tex Arts production of Beehive. And we're going to be listening to this on track, so make sure you can hear. Here we go.
Tonight you're mine completely.
Ooh.
You give your love so sweetly. Tonight the light of love is in your eyes.
Ooh.
But will you love me tomorrow?
When the night
needs the
morning sun.
assure us. Tell me now, and I won't ask again. Will you still love me tomorrow? Will you still love me tomorrow?
Oh my God, how wonderful is that? I should tell our listeners, since this is not a visual medium, that was Lauren Gaw on
Arielle
Legat.
We moved.
You're totally confusing me. I'm not the smartest person in the world.
We're like the same thing.
We are.
Yeah, you're both animal prints.
We're twins.
I did not get the memo about the animal print. That's lovely. I love female singers in harmony. I just love it. Also lovely instrumentation on this track. Is that the instrumentation that we will be hearing?
Yes, it is.
And is it all live and acoustic?
It is not. Those are our tracks that we use for
the show. You're singing the track.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm sure those musicians are great.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
They're very consistent.
Like, every time.
They never get it wrong.
Is it heavy choreography, or is it what I could imagine the choreography to be from the 60s girl groups?
There's a lot of dancing.
It's not. There's so much dancing, but it is all what you can expect from the 60s.
Exactly. Yeah, okay. Aaron Ryan did an amazing job. And a lot of it, we watched old videos and made sure that we were
got
really
a lot of inspiration.
Authentic to the period, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
Authentic to the bands themselves originally as well.
Yeah. And that music, when you look at the set list or the playlist for that, everybody knows every song.
It's so true.
Yeah.
And everyone really shines. Like, and that's the biggest compliment I have for Megan Richards, our director. The way that she assigned songs to the voices and the cast is just...
Everyone gets their moment to really show off what their special gifts are.
Absolutely.
Amazing. So when does the show open? It's already open.
It opened last
week. When does it close?
March 1st.
March 1st. And where can folks go to get more information?
You can go online to TexArts website.
Which is Tex-Arts.org.
That's right.
Well, wonderful. Thank you all so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having us,
Lisa.
Thank
you for having us.
So good to see you.
Wonderful. That was Lindsay Polinsky, Hannah Ferguson, Laura Gaw, I have trouble saying that, and Arielle Legat from TexArts production of Beehive, playing now through March 1st. For more information, you may visit tex-arts.org. And from the show, from the Off-Broadway cast album, this is a song you will recognize. I'm not going to even tell you what it's called. We'll be right back. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
We're here.
Before we run away, I just do want to say our original guest for this was going to be Ground Floor Theater and their/our production of Yellowface, which is happening now through the 28th. And I just want to say that Yellowface is so much fun. And it tells us kind of an autobiographical story.
Semi-autobiographical
story about David Henry Hwang. And those of you that know Ground Floor Theater's work, you'll be very surprised to learn this is a comedy. This is fun to watch. So you can get information about Yellowface playing now through the 28th at groundfloortheater.org. And I've seen every show so far because it happens to be at my theater.
It does.
And I also want to just shout out the director, who is Sandy Lamb, who is part of our Directors Rising program, where we take directors that haven't directed much or anything and give them the helm of a main stage production. And Sandy did an amazing job.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. And one of the things I'm proud about this program is that, you know, that director, whoever it is not treated any differently than any other professional director.
The only
difference is they are mentored.
They get some extra support and love. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Sandy did a great job. It's a worthwhile scene.
Very cool.
Yeah. So we did it. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's
Happy
Day.
Happy VD, as we say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Coming up next, we're going to learn about what's new from Tracy Schultz, who's going to tell us
what's new
on his show.
On his show.
What's new?
What's new?
And from the show, Signs of Life, that I talked about with the concept album.
You got music from
this
it.
This is the, this is, remember, this is the, they're sung by, all these numbers are by zodiac. So this is Aquarius.
Okay.
And this is called You Are Not Alone, Not, from Dear Evan Hansen. had to make sure we were queued up, and we are. We'll see you next week when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. Next week is membership drive, folks. Get out your wallets.
Yeah. Au revoir.
Au revoir. You're so